Welcome to Keith and the Girl. I'm Keith Malley.
I'm Chemda.
Are you a member of VIP? KeithandtheGirl.com/VIP. It's every show we've ever done, including our spinoffs. Last week on Keith and the Girl, where we talk about the guests behind the scenes, right? All the action, all the activity. Many things there, but there's a brand new one with Chemda and her ex-father-in-law. Now you'd think,
who's my new dad?
You break up, you break up with the family, not Chemda.
I'm not letting them go.
She gets rid of the husband but keeps everybody else. Yeah. Don't ask.
Controversial.
Well, I'm looking at the newest episode of Shit My Father-in-Law Says. In this episode,
he does say some shit. It's totally true.
Well, in this episode, Chemda talks to her ex-father-in-law in detail about his decision to marry and divorce the same woman three times.
Ooh, he let me ask him some crazy questions.
Which includes his sincere aim to kill his brother. Spare Ben writes, as a regular podcast listener since 2005, this is one of the most compelling stories I've heard.
Wow.
Chemda is hitting a home run with this show.
Wee.
Hashtag hillbilly ho.
He called her his hillbilly ho. He's like, I called him, what did I call him, a redneck?
Yeah.
And he's like, I'm not a redneck. And then he proceeds to tell me how he's going to kill his own brother for sleeping with his wife. And I'm like, you want to tell me again how you're not a redneck hillbilly?
Yeah, it's a, you know, I've said this before, but I got nervous about this show. Not going to lie to you.
Yeah.
I don't know. The whole thing's weird. She's keeping in touch with an ex's dad. That's strange. And then, you know, how honest is she going to be? Like, is she going to be nervous at somebody of a different generation? Do you know what I mean? You don't want to hurt his feelings.
And he's so different than me. He's a Republican. He's conservative. He's gun-toting. Yeah. Like, he's, you know, and he calls me hippie. He looks at me like, oh, sweetie. And I'm like, sweetie, man. But he also respects me. And but
did you ask if this gun sprays? Did you use the word spray? Well, I'll tell you, I sit corrected because this is such a good series.
Thank you.
It's under Flavor of the Month, where we have a brand new kind of theme every single month, new hosts, everything. Anyway, look at VIP. I think you'll dig it. All right. Today's guest we heard about through Catherine Heller. If it's good enough for her, it's good enough for us. Ladies and gentlemen, first off, featured in HBO's High Maintenance Rater for Vice, Shelton Lindsay.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm doing well.
God damn, this is going to be fun. I can tell already.
It's nice to meet you guys.
Nice to meet you. Also, listen to this. Listen, maybe you heard of Disney. Maybe you've heard of Nickelodeon.
Oh.
She's done voiceover work for both of those.
Ooh.
Okay.
I thought I heard her before.
Yeah, an ensemble member of the New York Neo-Futurists.
Both of them are.
Robin Virginie.
Hello.
How are you?
Good. How are you guys?
I'm very excited. All right. Where do I begin? Well, let's begin with Professor Cupcake, right?
Hello.
Now, I look at Shelton's website and it says right away, AKA Professor Cupcake. Where do you come up with that name?
So I was at Burning Man back in 2011 in a monkey chanting workshop.
Best start of a sentence ever.
You're not going to believe me, but I was going to guess that.
Yeah, well, you know, just look at me. And I'm there and I'm talking to a woman who is dressed as a butterfly and she keeps like heaving her chest so that her butterfly wings move with her. And I'm absolutely entranced and totally baked on the mushroom chocolates that she gave me.
Sure.
And then she hands me this cupcake flavored lip gloss and she's like, why don't you put this on? I'm like, yes. And so I put it on and I didn't have like a playa name at that time. And it was just the most delicious tasting lip gloss I'd ever experienced. So I just sat there like licking my lips for hours and people are like, what are you doing? And I'm like, tasting the cupcake, you know, faux spiritualism.
Right.
And the name stuck and it stayed with me for years and then ended up being someone like a nom de guerre or whatever that I performed under for a while in New York.
As burlesque? In burlesque or in other...
No, my friend and I actually started teaching preschool to adults as a form of artistic therapy. And so during that, I would like assume sort of this like childlike wonder-filled character. And we called this character Professor Cupcake. And I would go around and build crowns for people out of literal garbage, but make them very aesthetic to make people feel like anyone can be something that they are not. And all it takes is like a little bit of make-believe and some time to like change how you see yourself.
Let's go back just for a second. Did you charge for kindergarten for adults?
Yes.
And what was the curriculum like?
The curriculum involved story time and arts and crafts and napping.
Are you still doing this?
No, we have stopped
Fuck
doing this.
You.
I know, right? Yeah. It's like all adults need this in their life.
Oh my God.
Mm-hmm.
Was there snack time?
Oh yeah. It was, imagine preschool, but just for like 30-year-olds in Brooklyn.
In it for a day, like on a Saturday?
Yeah, and there was a class curriculum. We took a field trip.
Was there always an asshole kid?
No. Oh. They were all really nice.
Can I ask your age?
Yeah, I'm 31.
31. Now, everything about you pops.
Thank you.
The lavender fingernails, the eye makeup, every single thing about you. So, it's no... Not too long ago, I was walking with my friend Adam on the street, all right? And we look like cops, if you ask me. But we got somebody yelling out their window, go back to where you were from, faggot. So I can only imagine...
Were you holding hands again?
Yeah, we were holding
hands. Okay.
I can only imagine the things a homosexual has to go through. And then on top of that, there's nothing subtle about you. At what age do you go, you know what? I know I'm going to get hassled. Fuck you. I'll wear what I want to wear. I got my mermaid necklace. Fuck you. At what age are you not scared or pretend not to be scared?
I mean, always. This mermaid necklace, for instance, is like a gift from my grandma. So it's like from a very early age, my family encouraged me to just be myself. I'm also really bad at forgetting societal rules. So I like try to blend in sometimes and then I like get distracted and start like dancing with a butterfly that's like floating around on the train platform. And then it's like, oh, I'm just like, I'm just weird. But we live in New York and there are so many people here that I just don't mind if I'm odd in someone's day because chances are I will never see them again. And I had this day on the subway like probably 2 years ago, right during Pride. And I was on the subway really late at night by myself wearing almost nothing and I was drunk. And I was sitting there and I was like, I feel so deeply uncomfortable. And I tried to make myself smaller and smaller and smaller until no one would see me and no one would hurt me. And then this really drunk guy got on the subway and he walked right up to me and he screamed in my face and he was like, "You are beautiful." And then handed me this inflatable sword that he had for no reason and went, "Defend yourself." And then like ran away. And I was like, this is why I love New York, is because here I am nervous and someone is like choosing to empower me. And that is not everyone's experience of being like faggoty and gay and visible, but it is mine and I treasure that.
Right. I don't know where I'm going with this, but is there I even know it being New York City, gay people still get harassed. Do you somehow get, I don't know how you would know this answer, but do you think you get less harassed by being so open and so clear that I'm gonna be who I want to be? Does that even make sense?
It does. You know, I'm also a white man over 6 feet and I have a lot of body hair. So those markers are incredibly masculine. So even when I am femmed up to the gods, I still like confuse the gender binary. And I think most people realize that you only stand there looking like that if you feel confident enough to defend yourself. And right. I know that sounds sort of weird, but it's like I get mm-hmm. this weird permission where I don't think I would have the same access if I was shorter, for instance,
right.
Or less hairy, honestly.
Now, Robin, before the show... the two of you were talking about how do physical objects have feeling?
Yes. Okay?
So you both are pretty out there. But I used to wonder that too. Like, do atoms, are they the building block of everything? Aren't they? I don't, like, is a table, like, if you look close enough, is shit moving around inside it? I don't know. And there's no way to know.
There is on acid.
So it makes you wonder. But it'll go so far as, like, when you put toothpaste on your toothbrush, you don't know if you're breaking up a family.
Yeah, I'm so happy you brought it up. That's why I'm here today.
This is what I want to be known for. Yeah.
Right. But meanwhile, you eat meat.
Yep.
It's so funny how life is, isn't it?
Yeah. It's funny how that works.
I like a hamburger, but what about the feelings in my mug?
What about my mug? What about the plate? Well, I do sometimes pick like a plate that's like one of my lesser used plates just to be like, hey, I know you were made for this. I know you want this. I'm going to eat this burger off of you.
Oh my God. Beauty and the Beast must be your favorite movie.
No, it just makes sense to her.
I tweeted the other day. I was like, what if the people who were enchanted objects and they became people again, right. Like, how do they interact in society again? Because everything they see, they're like, wait, that was me. Like, I can't sit on this.
This fucking Disney, you never get the full real story.
Right. Exactly.
What happens after Happily Ever After?
Oh, yeah. Exactly. So you were a chair. Now you're a person again because you broke the spell, and now you're just going to comfortably sit on another chair.
Can't just do that.
What about that? The spell they're under.
Exactly. Exactly. We don't know.
Boy, what are we doing to our children? Giving them existential problems.
Well, you go crazy wondering, like, is everything cursed or is it just a pen? You know? Am I raiding with somebody's asshole?
Right, right, right.
Exactly. Am I having sex right now?
Oh, man, that is not a movie you watch high.
You know what? We might all be having sex right now with these chairs.
Thank you for saying that.
Yeah. I just want to...
I thought I felt something.
Yeah. I'm feeling it too. Yeah.
Somebody yells at Shelton. He's like, you're fucking the subway stop chair.
Shoot on my face. Yes, sir.
Right.
Okay, yeah.
Well, let me say that. We brought up fashion. And let me tell you guys about something I think you're going to like, because you bring up garbage and looking around the world you live in. Rothy's Shoes. Let me tell you what this company does. Rothys. They take water bottles, do things to them I don't understand. Mm-hmm. Then again, I don't know if a table's alive, you know, so don't go by me. And they make the most comfortable shoes you've ever worn. And I tried doing it myself. I took a water bottle, cut it in half, started wearing it like slippers. It's a mess. It's not, I don't know what they do.
You're very creative though.
But you use these, Hemda. Andrea knows fashion. She wears these, the most comfortable shoes you ever wear, and they look beautiful.
I got the okay from Andrea, which is usually like, okay, I could wear this in public and you know, move forward with my life. And also makes me feel confident that Andrea wore that in our induction to the Hall of Fame. Mm-hmm. And that was a fancy time. We all had to get dressed up. She wore it to a wedding. And it's the kind of shoe that I usually stay away from because it usually makes my foot look wide. And these made my foot look skinnier.
They're made completely out of water bottles?
Yes! It's so weird. Recycled plastic water bottles.
But they're so comfortable.
And they're the softest shoes you'll ever see.
I love that. And you see... As an advocate for objects, I think that's what the water bottle would want.
Yes. Machine washable.
Amazing.
You don't even think about it. You put your shoes in the...
That's like a bath to them, though.
Yes.
Yeah, they like that.
And a roller coaster.
Now listen to this. Free shipping and free returns. It's a trick, though, because you're not going to want to return them. But, you know, might as well offer that. I love my Rothy's, and I know you will too. Right now, Rothy's has an amazing deal. Use the code KATG. Get free shipping. No minimum. None of that business. All right? Go to Rothy's, Rothys.com. Enter KATG to get your cute shoes and free shipping. It's a no-brainer.
You don't even have to have a brain.
You literally don't. You literally don't. Who's the one with no brain in Wizard of Oz?
Scarecrow.
Thank you. Shoes are comfortable, stylish, sustainable, free shipping. Do get yourself a pair today, okay? Rothys.com, promo code KATG. Get this deal while it lasts. That's all I could tell you.
I appreciate that.
Yes.
I have the shoes.
Sounds good.
Shelton, do you keep in touch with your parents? Are they around?
Yeah, I'm good friends with both of them.
Friends?
Yeah, I love my parents.
I can't even hear those words.
Can you imagine?
No.
Friends.
I think. No, I mean, be friends with your in-laws, but other than that.
Yeah, they're great.
But it's like, I can appreciate the idea of appreciating your parents, but friends, what's the last big thing that you called them about?
I don't know. I talk to my mom almost every single day.
Really?
Yeah.
What the, who?
Because I scare them. If I say anything, you know, I don't know. They'd extrapolate that, make up what that could mean, and it turns into something scary.
I don't even want to talk to Keith every day. What?
I said I'm going camping this weekend, and my mom's, you know, she has to make me promise I'm going to bring extra clothes because I don't know, it gets cold at night.
Nice. I was at home with my parents with like one of our good friends and co-collaborators with the Neo Futurist, this girl Nessa, because we just went to Italy and made this film together there. So we like went to do some writing before, and we're having dinner with my parents, and I'm playing a straight guy in this movie. And so I was talking about that experience, and I was like, you know, mom and dad, I'm not going to smoke any pot for like a month to get ready for this character, and I'm not going to have any sex so I can like really feel the role.
Do you know what straight guys are?
Yeah, I don't. I guess not.
Well, he knows straight guys are angry.
Yeah.
So he has to piss himself off.
Like, I want to be like repressed and feel sad all the time.
Oh, I get it. Okay.
So I'm like trying to get into this mindset, and my mom just looks at my friend and goes, ugh, he's not going to smoke any pot or have any sex. Like, he's going to be a bitch to hang out with. Am I right? I'm like, okay, mom. Right. Like, way to read me to filth in front of my friends.
Do you like, would you practice your character at home? Like, she's watching TV, you change the channel and you go, sorry, my character doesn't ask for consent.
Mm. No, because this straight guy that I was playing was like a, it was really awkward and constantly trying to hide from the world and overly reading books and then like defining things around him. He was just obnoxious and then being like completely ramrodded by this like very domineering character of his wife.
Right.
So no, I didn't ever get to hold the TV remote.
What do you do differently as a straight character? Is there really, do you put something on it?
Put a bird on it.
You can't say things like that in this role, right?
Yeah.
Well, hamburger football.
I was going to say, like, sports.
Yeah.
Sports.
Why didn't he fucking catch it? Like, do you practice?
Yeah.
Out of nowhere. Dude, with the sports.
Deflating
a football, right?
Yeah, I tried to.
The commissioner!
I hope they have enough balls for this game.
My dad said that to me when I was a child. He looked at me and I was trying. Someone said, does your son play sports? And my dad went, he only plays with balls when they're attached.
Oh,
and
he was like, shit.
I'm eight, girl. I don't even know about this yet, but you already can tell.
Wow. Wait, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, he kept saying girl to his dad.
Hey, girl.
Girl, man. You know?
He's like, I don't know what girl is and I don't know what Judy's are, but something's up with my son. Yeah. Parker, do not say this to my friends.
I guess I'd be friends with my parents also if they actually saw the truth in me, you know? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think that's the difference. You know, I keep thinking when they speak to me, even when they say I love you, I'm like, is there someone behind me? Are you talking to me? Because so far you've said how much you hate me and then you ended it with I love you.
Right.
You're just like, your shoes are awful. You look fat. You eat too much. I love you. Like, I think I don't want love in my life. I just cleared up all the shit decisions I've made. Oh, thank you. Breakthrough.
That was therapy just now. Yeah.
It is interesting that straight people don't have to tell their parents what kind of sex they have. But did you feel that you had to come out to your parents ever like officially and say, hey, you know what I know, but here's the big
His
reveal.
Parents told him.
Yeah, right. My mom did when I was 12.
Yeah.
She was like, when you realize you're gay, you can tell us. And I was like, Mom, I'm not gay. She's like, that's great, honey. Let's go put the Sound of Music on again and then choreograph things to Cher.
Yeah. Mom, I'm not gay.
Yeah, in my mind, I'm always British. So I'm not a gay mommy. I'm not a faggot. They knew.
Upstate New York.
Yeah. They know when he's lying, he just has the accent.
Right. Mommy, I like women.
First of all, I'm not a bundle of sticks.
I used to steal my mom's red dress, a cocktail dress, and a matching pair of red leather patent shoes because I have
taste.
Mom's
a whore.
I know. And I would get on the back of my tricycle and ride around our yard in flower crowns that my dad would make out of grass for me from the wheel bed of the lawnmower. And literally nothing has changed in my drag aesthetic in 29 years.
I want to hang out as 9-year-olds together.
Let's do it.
That sounds so fun.
Wait, a daycare. Kindergarten. What was it called?
Preschool for adults.
Now, why did this not work out? Preschool for adults.
Preschool's expensive.
Yeah. Also, the company, imagine running a preschool for adults with adults who sort of act like preschoolers.
Mm.
You know, it just like it was not a viable functional business model. No matter how hard I tried to work with the people around me, they continued to want to produce it like they were children. Like sometimes we would take business meetings and write them in crayon. And it was like, look, guys, I get that it's for preschool for adults, but I also need a business plan that I can bring into a bank. And I can't when you're signing shit in crayons.
Did everyone keep asking you to put the straw in their juice box? It was just too hard.
Yeah, I was like, how have I become the not fun rule oriented one who's like trying to motivate us?
That's amazing.
Yeah.
All right. Can I tell you guys about something else?
Mm-hmm.
Please. This is important to me.
You may.
Talking skincare. Okay? Talking True Botanicals. All right? Huh?
Yeah.
It's the reason why I can look at your face recently.
Most skincare products on the shelf, I mean, you can agree or disagree. You tell me if I'm wrong, but I think I'm right. They involve some sort of trade-off, right? Either they're loaded with harmful chemicals, but they work, or they manage to have clean ingredients. But then, you know, they do nothing for your skin. True Botanicals believes you shouldn't have to choose between skincare that's safe and skincare that's effective. You deserve both, and none of these products are made out of people.
You know what, Keith? Ooh, I have noticed you used to get this dry forehead thing, like in your T-zone, I think it's called, and it would kind of flake, and you haven't been getting that lately.
Well, guess what? Thank you, True Botanicals. With the help of leading researchers from top universities, True Botanicals bottles the highest quality natural ingredients, creating luxurious formulas. I'm just thinking off the top of my head, but they're as potent as they are pure. Third-party clinical trials verify their product's efficiency. I'll explain. The Renew Collection for aging skin outperformed Creme de la Mer.
Ooh.
And their Clear Collection for acne outperformed Proactive Plus.
That's something.
I'll tell you what's something.
Yeah.
Whenever I do an ad on the show, they go, you know what, mention this product, but don't mention the competitors. We don't want to do a fight. Not True Botanicals. They go, hey, Proactive, fuck you.
Yeah.
I dare you. This is proof that non-toxic skincare can only be as effective as conventional skincare, but it can be better. And True Botanicals is the first skincare company to have its entire line certified safe for people and the planet by the nonprofit Made Safe. That's America's first non-toxic seed.
Duh. Keith, please.
Well,
of course.
Go to truebotanicals.com now to get free samples and receive $20 off orders of $40 or more off your first purchase with the code KATG. All right.
What does KATG stand for?
That's your business. Make it your own. Okay? But the letters are important for the code. Okay? But make it whatever you want from there. That's what this show's about. Everybody so nice. In their little boxes. What? How can I please you today? No, I want to know who you are. Mm. Right? Huh?
The most inspiring ad I've ever heard. It was really hardcore and then it became emotional.
No, who are you? What are you about? Unless you're about evil.
Mm.
Not my bag. Right? If you're about bad things, I go, not interested. This Bill Cosby, you hear about him?
Yeah, 3 to 10.
3 to 10 years in state prison.
No bail, too, right? They went straight to prison.
You're going straight to prison.
Does he go to Gen Pop? I know words. I know terminology Gen like that. Pop.
From Orange is the New Black. That's the only way I know it.
No, I know it from Oz.
Oh, nice. Yes.
I mean, I don't know what they'll do with him. He's such a high-profile case and such a high-profile abuser.
Does he go to fancy prison?
Yeah, or solitary, because wouldn't they be worried that he'd be attacked by fellow inmates for being despicable?
Yeah, I mean, usually sex offenders do get beat the fuck up. Mm-hmm. But it's weird because, I don't know, I figure in there it could go 50-50 because... he's still Cosby, and I think that some of those guys might be behind on their news, and also some people might still have a soft spot for him. That being said, some people might want to beat the shit out of him.
I feel like it's a worse betrayal. You know, he was America's family, right? And so it's like if you see someone that was supposed to be representing like family values in a intense way, like prisoners still have morals often, and I don't know, a guiding sense of purpose.
But I also think that's why people believe that it's more of a conspiracy than an actual fact. Like, I still think there are...
Oh, I don't. This is what I think.
No, but you don't think people think that he didn't do it?
Absolutely not.
Really? Yeah.
Not the way I'm reading the world. It's that it was, even with all the accusers and the situation, you know, that he got in trouble for that happened mere 14 years ago, they still... came up with reasons why this is some kind of conspiracy. And it basically seemed 50-50 to me when it came to the percentage of people. As soon as, not that anybody followed the case or read the rest of the article, but as soon as you saw the headline, he was found guilty, all of a sudden, I wasn't hearing any more fight about it. It was like, well, that's what it is. Yeah, I always thought that way.
I agree with you that I think that leaned the country a little bit more. Andrea's saying there are open micers that still think he didn't do it. Like they will, I guess it's part of their material and part of their set.
Well, they can't change it. That's their material. They had to hone every word just perfect.
Yeah, but they're open micers. They just wrote that down.
Yeah, at least 46 women came out 2 years ago.
Yeah.
46. Like, when do you start listening?
I'm almost thinking, though, these open, and I'm not trying to make excuses for people, but I'm, you know, open micers. They're trying to be controversial.
I get that, but, you know, people voted for Trump. You know what I mean? Like, people... Right. We're still new to, he did it. I still, just that whole notion of, a person that we were in love with, like genuinely in love with for years, I feel like we have a Stockholm syndrome of sorts. Like, no, he can't possibly do that. He raised me and he raised me well. So you never had a bad interaction with Cosby. You only have good memories of him. And you know that high profile people, they like to be, you feel like everyone's trying to bring them down. And why wouldn't someone try to bring down another black man that we adore?
Right.
You can easily go in that head, especially if you want your world to remain good. I mean, how many people stay in marriages that they don't like because the idea of breaking what they thought was true is too harsh? Even though on the other side of it, there's a lot more goodness.
I wonder.
Long story short,
you gotta email me if you wonder, even after the guilty verdict.
I feel like it's not our audience. Our audience will lean, definitely one way.
I don't want to brag, but we got a moron or three.
If they could email.
Right.
Good.
They can find a computer.
Yeah. How could you not email Keith? He was so encouraging.
Right.
Just then.
No. That's also just women. I mean, just the notion that all women are hysterical and have all these, just the fact that so many people grew up, women as well, thinking like, you know what? Yeah, he did some stuff, but like all boys do crazy stuff. And like this woman was in his hotel room anyway. So she knew that stuff like that.
It is so shocking to me when I hear the women saying, boys will be boys. What do you expect?
Yeah.
And Kavanaugh is what's coming to mind right now.
Yeah.
Here's CNN got five women together, middle age. And they thought, I'm going to guess, that they would be for the woman. You know, the accuser of Kavanaugh, or at least 50-50 and bring up, you know, some dopey points on all sides. They were 100% against the accuser.
A show of hands, how many of you believe Judge Kavanaugh when he says this didn't happen?
I believe him.
Everyone.
I do believe him.
How can we believe the word of a woman or something that happened 36 years ago when this guy has an impeccable reputation?
It wasn't
nobody that has spoken ill will about him. Everyone that speaks about him, this guy's an altar boy, you know, a scout.
Oh my God, altar boy and scout. Isn't that now synonymous with pervert?
Yeah, right? Butt fucking pervert.
Where have we been? Oh, he's a priest. Oh shit.
Yeah. Right,
this guy's a regular Pennsylvania priest.
He must be good.
This guy loves little boys.
Made an allegation. Sorry, I don't buy it.
Why would she come forward if this wasn't true? Because it has basically destroyed her family. She's had to move. She's gone undercover. She's gotten death threats. So if she's lying, why come forward?
She's also destroying his life, his wife's lives, his children's lives, his career. Mm-hmm. I mean, why didn't she come out sooner if she's telling the truth?
Why didn't she come out when he was going into the Bush White House? Why didn't she come out when he's been a federal judge for over a decade?
Why not have a thorough investigation instead of just the two of them? He said, she said.
Because it doesn't matter. It does not matter what everyone else has to say.
This is what happened, though, with Clarence Thomas and Anita Hill. The FBI investigated. It took 3 days. Done. Why not now?
Well, this is not the same. This is a high school kid. I mean, it's not Anita Hill story.
Good on you, ladies. America shares your view.
Whoa, who said that?
Yeah, all right. Do not agree.
If you can check the ending next time, Andrew, thank you. So apparently this is from a site that's agreeing.
So this is why I'm saying I think there's a lot of people who still think Cosby didn't do it. Mm-hmm. I think if you asked me, you know, in the 80s what I thought and you told me that would sound logical because the things that happened to me, I responded in that way also. So things that happened to me, like, you know, someone touched me inappropriately for some reason, I didn't understand what that meant. And well, I know why. And I didn't want to tell my parents. I didn't want to tell anyone. I thought I would be inconveniencing people. I thought that I would blow up not only their life, but my life. It would be a whole to do. People would be disappointed in several different various ways. And this is a logic. This is the kind of logic that I think we were pushing on people back in the day. I think this is the first time that I'm hearing not that. I remember reading the newspaper, hearing about a rape, and it's like, what was she doing in Central Park in the middle of the night jogging? Why would a woman jog at 2 a.m.? What, you don't have another time to do that? Mm-hmm. I remember, why was she wearing that short skirt? And it's like, well, why don't you arrest Versace? Why is he even making that short skirt? You know, just stuff like that. Not just in social talk, in like from, I think, judge from in the courtroom. People would get off, no pun, people would not be going to jail because she was wearing a short skirt, because she went to his apartment, because she admitted that she had sexual feelings for him, and then she tried to stop it once they got going. Because no one thought, yeah, I did want to sleep with him, but then once we started kissing, I didn't like it, so I wanted to stop. And it's like, but you definitely were horny for him. How do I tell you yes, and I still didn't want to sleep with him, even though I went there to sleep with him?
Well, the Kavanaugh defense seems to be him saying that throughout high school he was a virgin, and even some years after. So he couldn't have done some kind of sexual assault to somebody.
What?
Oh, yeah, the virgin.
If you weren't a virgin, were you somehow able to not sexually assault? You see what I'm saying? How fucking ridiculous.
It's also, by the way, one of the main things, and this is obviously internalized misogyny, one of the main reasons why I didn't want to say anything is because then I didn't have the experience that I thought I had. Because then the first person that, you know, I experienced sex with didn't actually respect me like I thought he did. I wasn't really in love and he was in love with me. All of a sudden, my whole history changes into a shit one.
I don't know if it may have been with Cosby, where I learned, you know, why are there some women that are defending Cosby, but you know how the world works. And I learned for the first time that it is a thing where people don't credit that a terrible action happened because a terrible action happened to them. Mm-hmm. And by acknowledging that action, they have to acknowledge their action. I didn't know that was a thing. If I tell you that Kavanaugh didn't do this and the woman's making it up, then I don't have to look at what happened to me when I was younger. Right. And because if I admit that some public story is terrible, then I have to admit what happened to me was terrible.
And not I'd rather only that, just move on. That my husband is like that. That my son is like that. That my brother is like that.
Well, one of the women said, this clip goes on actually. And one of the women, first of all, one woman says, and what, he touched somebody and touches the woman's next to her arm. No, he took his prick out and shoved it in front of her face, supposedly. She touches the other woman's arm and says, a touch? A touch is what we're talking about? Well, first of all, you're changing the facts, but okay. Or the allegations you're changing. A touch. And boys will be boys. Ugh. Like, you really said that, mother.
The worst.
Boys will be boys. And I'm not exaggerating about this. I wish I had more of this clip. She says, and tell me what boy hasn't done this?
That's the, yeah.
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 This is to me like the God issue or religion in general. So Keith, you grew up Catholic, your parents are still Catholic, you got out of it. And how do you explain to your parents Catholicism has some negative shit, to say the least? They're just going to be like, no, you know, you just try to talk to them about how 1,000 kids got molested.
Over 1,000, sure.
Yeah. And this was just in one
state.
One state.
So, yeah. You know, so I've said this before, but you know that means thousands, right? We're smart enough to know that in one state, and we still have 49 states to go.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So, what were your parents' response to that?
God wants you to go to church.
Yeah. So, if they suddenly realize that people are using God's name to touch kids and to do the most really legit, everyone agrees, the most heinous crime.
Then my dad, who was a priest, was part of a horrible organization. So, perhaps he's horrible.
Right.
My mom, who studied this her entire life, perhaps was studying the wrong thing.
Right. Like, that's a lot for people who don't want to admit step one about what life is.
Right.
They just kind of keep, you know, and especially your parents, I'm sorry, they isolate so much so that they can keep their thoughts to themselves and not be challenged on it.
Yeah.
There's a lot of safety in just thinking that life is a certain way and just never challenging that and being like, this is going to be it for me. I'm going to marry this one person. We're going to have 3 kids. That's all for the rules. And then I'm going to die and that's it. And just never question anything. People get really scared when you're like, huh. Have you ever had this feeling or this doubt? They'll be that they don't want to hear that.
Well, even something comparatively, maybe less dangerous, but I was bullied as a kid. And yet you hear people now going, all right, so you're bullied. And this generation, they'll be bullied. And then what's the big deal? Why is there some kind of movement? First of all, if there's a movement, calm down for a second and breathe. There's a .com to explain it. All right, take a look. But all right. But are you glad you were? No, because you don't even want to acknowledge something as simple and understood as bullying. You're like, it happened to me. It'll happen to everybody. Who cares? If you're so fucking stupid that you publicly say, why is cyberbullying a big deal? Because you could turn off your computer.
Oh, wow.
You didn't take a second.
Yeah. And you know what? You know what's
That's
funny?
Almost worse because you can't defend that.
if you're a person who says that, I bet you refresh your page 50 million times after you post something to try to get love. But yeah, you'd be okay with like a million people attacking you on social media because it doesn't matter. Right. Meanwhile, keep posting those sexy pictures, mom.
Yeah. I remember when I was 13, I did a concert and it was in Holland and it was like on live TV and stuff like that. And they put it on YouTube. And I was looking at the comments because I was really proud of it. And I was like, woohoo, I'm on YouTube.
Oh, no way to get rid of that feeling faster.
Oh, my God. And it was, I was 13. And the quote was something along the lines of like, I want to find this girl. I'm going to rape her. I'm going to slit out her her throat. And then I'm going to make sure she never sings again because this was off. It was something along those lines. And
how
I was
bad of a singer. I'm just,
I know I'm really bad. Sorry. And I took it to heart and I took more lessons and that's what I wanted to tell you guys. But I remember coming into school the next day and I was super upset and also just scared. And I remember my teacher just saying like, okay, so you're just bragging that you're on YouTube. Why are you telling us this? And I was like, oh, okay.
What? So
I was like, yeah. People are people. That's my conclusion.
You know what? Yeah. Best quote ever.
People are people.
Let's not forget.
That's how,
yeah.
That's how wise I am now. But no, people, I don't know, when people see hurt and it's especially similar to theirs, I think it's very easy for people to be like, well, I experienced it, so I think everyone should, so we can all be as tough as me and just... I think that's what the world should be like instead of softer.
Also now, because of the Cosby verdict, Hannibal Buress is trending again. The comedian that actually brought this to light. If you remember, he started saying, you know, who's Cosby to judge us? This guy's understood to be a rapist. Look it up if you want. Really, really kind of simple, but it ended
in passing
up,
almost.
It got the word out there when somebody taped his set without his permission.
Oh my God, he's really trending. And I know we've talked to him and he hates it. Yeah, he's not happy to be associated with it.
He gets angry when I say he's a superhero. And he really is because he thinks like this is going to overshadow his comedy. But to me, Clark Kent's a great journalist. Doesn't take away that he's Superman.
Well, I've never read any of his articles.
I read the headlines, but
like really, who Clark Kent?
He did a lot of clickbait.
Does he write the sports?
He works for BuzzFeed. Like,
listicles. Yeah.
But I mean, how great that this happened to work out that way. Now, here's the confusion. Do we stop taping comedians without their permission? You know what I mean? I saw the movie The Big Sick. What did I learn? Well, don't heckle. Unless, you know, you can tell it's the love of your life.
Right, right, right.
Then definitely, it's fine. Yeah, I get very, very confused about the rules.
I watched this. I did a show last night, and it was like basically like a clown show. And this old woman started reading one of the comedians who is on stage for not understanding Shakespeare. And she just schooled the guy. And it was actually kind of wonderful to watch. She's like, do not get on this stage and say that Shakespeare did not know what he was doing. If you do not understand his comedy, you do not get his references. You do not understand his words. You are not putting in the time. And I was like, yes, like read this comedian.
You know what there should be? A heckler class.
Ooh, a workshop.
Yeah. And at first you can heckle. I just write down, take some notes, and then I'll tell you what you did wrong. You didn't have any aim. You kind of zoned out. You can come drunk or sober. And then we explain how you become a perfect heckler.
Ooh.
Because I'll tell you.
Next on KTG Week.
When they're good, it only adds, but that confuses people. And you're probably not good at it. You know, there's many things like
suck
that.
Suck my dick.
Yeah, see?
Right. Okay.
That'd be like you running across the stage. Yeah, you running across the
stage. Live in Bed-Stuy.
Right. That's like running across the stage and telling me you did ballet. But I would teach you how to be a proper heckler. How to get the congratulations of the audience.
Don't say suck my dick unless you mean it.
It's a 5-week course. It's a 5-week course. And then the final class, we take you to a show.
I would take the class. Yeah. I'm up for that. Yeah.
I'd love to do
like,
that.
And then you're in a show and you see a heckler and be like, oh, they went to school for this. Yeah. I can see that degree. It's working. That was professional.
Yeah. It's like, what did you do wrong? I was too angry.
Yeah,
I didn't mean it.
Too angry right off the bat.
I heard the word cunt, but I didn't hear what was around it. I just yelled.
There was no context. I'm sorry.
Right. I'm mumbling a lot.
I think the best time I was ever a heckler was I went to a horrible comedy show at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival back in like 2012.
Right. Yikes.
And this comedian was just awful. You know, like every joke right out the door was like somehow inappropriate or offensive or just bad. And about two-thirds of the way through the set, my friend and I just, like, looked at each other and then, like, couldn't hold it in anymore. And we just started to laugh. And it was, like, the first laughs he had got all evening. Oof. And then we couldn't stop laughing. And he finally stopped the show and was like, you guys, you're not laughing for the right reasons. And made us leave. And it was like, thank you for asking me to leave your show. But you're terrible. You're really bad.
He's like, if I have to.
Yeah.
That's like, funny. You heckled by laughing and he knew it wasn't for the right reason.
Nobody ever laughs. I know this is fake.
I was like, oh, you poor man.
I feel like the best hecklers are children. I did a children's tour and the story was like that this girl learns to juggle, which I wasn't able to do and I never learned. And so basically I would just throw some balls in the air and then everyone would go, she juggled. And every show there would be at least one kid who was like, no, she didn't. And then for the rest of the show, be like, guys, she never juggled. I saw it. And we were off to like gaslight them into thinking like, no, that was juggling. I apologize to the kids of America.
No, we're insisting on this, bro.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
I did a magic trick for kids and you would put three scarves into one of those bags.
Yeah.
You know, where you flip the handles, the secret, it's actually opening up a secret compartment in the
Keith.
Bag.
Well,
I just ruined it for
one
everybody.
Rule of magic.
So I pull.
You know we have a lot of 5-year-old listeners. Come on.
So I put in red, white, and blue, and I'm going to pull out one flag of the American flag. Mm-hmm. Okay. So I pull it out, but all the colors are messed up so that the trick lasts longer. And there's, you know.
So it's red, white, and blue, but it's like blue stripes and red stars.
Gotcha. Right.
So I pull it out and I go, ta-da. And the kids go, no, that's not the flag. And all I'm thinking is, I just put but it's kind of the flag.
This was fucking magic. What do you want?
Are you an idiot? Like, I'll bring out the real flag in a second, but right here, can we take a moment? Amazing. And then I put it back in, and I pull out the right flag, and their minds are blown.
Honestly, this is why I'm not having kids. They're so dumb.
That is pretty dumb.
Yeah. How did they not know that? Yeah, they are dumb. Yeah.
Then I just threw everything on the ground and walked out.
And asked for a tip and some of the ziti.
To the kids directly, like, can I have tip money? Yeah.
Right. But anyway, those are the same kids that are adults now and aren't sure about Bill Cosby. Right. You know?
Yeah. And they probably are still confused about the flag. Like every time they see it, they're like, oh, I remember that one day.
You helped create that, Keith. How do you feel about yourself?
I don't know.
Fair.
You know what? They're probably like, don't kneel during the flag. I remember one guy. They never respect it. Mel Gibson is going to co-write and direct a remake of the classic Wild Bunch, a Western.
Oh.
Man, they forgave him fast, if you ask me. At the end of the show, I'll play you some of his greatest hits. Lest you forget. Don't worry.
Those fun things he says. Yeah.
His little fun little quips.
Yeah, get that man a job. Stat.
Wow. There's no other writers or directors.
There's no
other... Hey, Braveheart was great.
No, it wasn't.
You know, you didn't like Braveheart.
No, I was bored. Like, get another film where we kill people, like, all the time. So much death.
Can we just see a movie where I'm like, is that a rabbit or a person?
Yeah. I want like weird fantasy bullshit and like crazy dragons. That's all I'm looking for in my movies.
There are jobs. Like if you work for the Apple store, if you're late 3 times, you are fired.
Right.
And I specifically know this because our ex-intern and close friend Kyle worked there. And it's because like something like his aunt knew someone for real on the inside and all this shit. He was late, of course, 3 times.
Right.
And not even his aunt could kind of wash it out. And he got fired for being late 3 times. What did Mel Gibson do?
Mel Gibson. Picture you worked at Burger King.
I'm talking about like 5 minutes late, you're late.
Picture you're working at Burger King and you yell at a coworker, I hope you get raped by a pack of...
Mm-hmm.
Do you think you still can work and Taco Bell in the same town?
And then two days later, they're like, we must forgive this person. Come back to Burger King, please.
How could we take away this man's life?
Yeah, we destroyed his life, please.
If I told a coworker, no. I'm going to bury you in the back by in the Rose Garden. I can do it, believe me.
I remember, Keith, yeah. you were a waiter and... a customer spoke badly to a female coworker that you were working with,
yeah.
And you took him outside and
spoke
punched
badly.
Him.
Said, "I'm going to rape you." Yeah. Said, "Fuck you, I'm going to rape you." I took
over
him
food. Over food, okay.
I took him outside. He kept going. I ended up fighting him. I come back in. I'm fired because that's not how you deal with a customer. I go, "Well, how do you deal with a customer that says they're going to rape a coworker?" He goes, "Not like that."
Thanks, buddy. Oh my God. Good management.
Yeah, yeah, I think you should have quit that job.
Well, he got it worked out. Yeah.
I'm not fired. I quit.
Right. No, you're fired. Yeah. I quit, I said. Yeah.
No. I'm fired. Give me unemployment.
Yeah, I was going to say, I want them benefits. Yeah.
You suck. You're an asshole. Mm-hmm. Right. And also, you're a pussy bitch. Actually, a ball sack bitch. Because pussies can take a lot. And ball sacks.
So much.
Oofa. My goodness. They're such sensitive creatures.
They can still take a lot.
Just saying.
I'm sorry, must be misusing them.
Yeah, sometimes you just have to build up to it, you know? Because everyone thinks you just go right for the kicking in the nutsack. And that's never fun for anyone.
Everyone thinks you just go for like childbirth. And it's like, fuck me first.
Yeah, exactly. You gotta fuck the ball sack first.
Yeah.
Before you birth a child from them.
From it. Yeah. What level are you on? Kick me in the balls or just a little?
Oh, it depends on the man.
Oh.
It really does, doesn't it?
Yeah. Some people have like a nice hard touch.
Okay. You ever get into flicking it?
Well, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know. They're like being sensible. Goofy. They're sensible things or sensitive things. They're sensible things. My balls are sensible.
you ever stick a nail through a ball?
No. I've done sounding.
What's that? Oh.
Wait, what is that?
Through the pee hole?
Yeah.
Oh!
Yeah, that's a lot.
Okay, we should only talk about this now. I have many questions.
Okay, so that's when you like insert like a metal rod into the hole of your urethra.
Right.
While the dick is erect, and it like creates this sort of like sensation buildup because you can't orgasm.
Are you fucking while it's in you?
No, I wasn't. I was on this table at this guy's house that I met on the internet, because like also online dating just really is for sex. And he was like, hey, I'm a doctor. I want to stick this in your dick. And I was like, hilarious. Okay.
Did you see his credentials? Are you like, yeah, sure, you're a doctor?
No, I saw his interior. Like, to have that house in Soho. I was like, oh, you're making doctor money.
Okay. So, and this was the first time you were going to be doing this?
First and only. Don't need to go back there.
Please walk us through this. Okay. First of all, from that conversation, how does it get to sexy time with a rod in your dick?
You mean from the conversation, like, come over?
Yeah. Like, do you have a glass of wine?
No, we did smoke a joint.
Okay.
That's helpful.
And he gave me a massage first and then like flipped me over and was like, I want to stick this in your dick.
And then what do you, like, do you pour poppers in your dick hole?
No, I wish. I have a small urethra too. So I was like, that's a lot.
Wait, so how are you placed and how is he sticking it? Is it sexy while he's doing it or is it very doctory?
It was clinical,
yeah.
Which I think was part of his kink. I think he was getting off on the fact that it felt a little bit like a patient-doctor clinic session where he was allowed to be hands-on or touching or invading someone's body or experiencing it in a way that like gave him desire. And for me, that's a real turn-on as other people's fetishes.
Is it offensive that he put a mask on?
Yeah, and a lab coat. Had to call him doctor.
Scrubs.
Yeah. So the pain was worth it because he was getting off?
Yeah.
How painful was it? Do you have any tattoos?
I do not have any tattoos.
Fuck.
I'm going to show you three pictures of frowny faces, each one increasing in frown.
Oh, this is science.
How much does it hurt?
Well, so I would say it was a medium second frowny face. Oh. But then the part that was weirdest was then taking it out. I got on the subway and went to go see my boyfriend at the time and kept having like aftershocks the only way I can describe it. It's like, imagine something starts in the tip of your dick and then radiates out through the entirety of your body like a wave, like a pulsing wave that's like 2 seconds of like full body convulsions.
But is that hot? Because that sounds good.
I'm kind of intrigued. Yeah.
Oh, so it's good.
Yeah, it was like having after orgasms for like 2 hours where I would just be walking and then be like shuddering awkwardly on the F train.
Is that why it's called sounding? Like it's like sound waves?
I have no idea why it's called sounding.
See, I would look that up first before I had some in my dick. I really would.
What happens after the rod is in you? Do you play while it's in it?
I mean, I guess people who are more trained in the art of sounding probably do other things. He just like kept, you know, thwacked my balls a few times and played with my nipples. And then I was like,
really? And so, and so you just have an erect beat. He's not like jerking you off or blowing you while it's in there.
No, I mean, he wasn't. Maybe because I was also like, this is weird. I've never done this before. Let's talk about it more.
How long was something in your dick?
This was like 10 minutes.
It's a while.
That's kind of long. Yeah.
It felt like a while.
I'm not even that good at the gyno. I'm just like, what are you thinking in me? This is dramatic.
Yeah. I don't think the Super Bowl halftime show is 10 minutes.
Wait, should this be a Super Bowl halftime show?
Yeah.
Should we
Maroon
pitch this?
5 sounding.
I assumed that it was Maroon 5. I'm like, oh, here we go.
And you wouldn't want to do it again?
I will try almost anything once. Mm. And then I feel okay moving on if
you
it's
don't
not something.
Funny. You find out he does sounding, right? Then like separately, you hook up with him on OkCupid or something and you make him dinner and he's like, oh, not really for me. Like, motherfucker, you don't
I'm
think.
Not a mac and cheese person.
Right. More a sounding guy.
Can we do dressing on the side next time? Like, motherfucker, there's a rod in your dick. Get out. I don't know how those are equatable.
Is it possible for a dick to get soft while the rod is in it, or it's not going to do
such
that?
That's a great question.
Thank you.
I mean, I don't know. We'd have to throw this one out to the professionals who are listening.
So you didn't have that issue?
I did not.
Okay.
I don't usually have that issue.
Nice.
Yeah.
Is it addicting?
Addictive.
Yeah. Wow, real mature.
Yeah. Thank you. I don't know. I don't need to do it again.
Okay.
Yeah. What size rod did he have, and what size rod do you have?
Okay. Well, he had like a whole collection Woo! Of rods that like came out like one might keep their makeup brushes in a painter's case. You know, like one of those things. He like rolled it out, and they got.
I was thinking more Allen keys, but okay.
Oh yeah, all right. Well, similar. They got big. Like the sounding things that he had there, I was like, who is this for? Yeah.
Did he let you pick which one to put in you?
No, I was like small girl.
Okay,
like,
so no. You picked the smallest one.
Yeah, because I was like, I'm new to this, and again, I have a small urethra, not a penis. My dick is beautiful. Mm-hmm. You can see many photos of it in McCoy's art dick pics. Yeah.
Do you have one on you now?
A photo of my dick?
Yeah.
Yeah. I make art out of them.
Can I see it?
Oh, of course you can.
Can we put it on our website?
You can certainly put a GIF of my dick on your website.
Yeah. Wait, GIF. What's the...
I got really into making visual art a few years
ago.
But
we can't put it steady?
No. Well, I mean, a lot of them are animated as like images that tell a story. Because I got really bored of sending my dick pics to people on the internet that were boring. So I was like, what if I make funny dick pics? And then I send these people funny dick pics. Because then they're like getting to know my dick, but they're also getting to know my personality. You know, and so the people who are like, this
isn't
funny.
I love you.
Yeah.
I fucking love you.
Thank you.
Oh my God. This is so considerate.
I love this. Yeah, this is the only dick pic I want to receive from
now.
Like art? Yeah, then please send it.
And it's also, I have this theory that, you know, I'm a witch, like a practicing witch. I think that magic is real, and that I think it has a lot to do with how we choose to relate and
see
the world.
This when we have to close. Okay, continue.
Well, and what I just think is that, like, when I'm sending a dick to someone all the time, like, there's a way to reconceptualize that. Like, imagine that it is a witch's familiar. Like, it is something that I am sending in the world to do some form of my bidding, which is create potential for erotic connection. And I want that to be a sacred act, and I want it to be intimate and beautiful, and I want people to feel connected. And, you know, like, people are always saying like, oh, we send too many dick pics. It's like, no, we don't send them with the right intentionality behind
God,
it.
Please say there are many straight versions of you out there. Please,
I was just,
please,
yeah.
Please.
I'm oh also praying God. In my head right now.
Oh yeah. My God. No, of course you're gay because you're nice and nice things happen and you're creative and wonderful.
That's a beautiful thing. I love that.
Yeah. Thank you so much for your art.
Thank you.
What's the last spell that you did that's like a biggie?
The rod in his dick.
You like to do spells. What's the point of being a witch?
So the last spell that I think I just did that was a big one was I was asked to be the lead in a ritual piece of theater that was done just once in a forest in rural Vermont. And it was put on by 30 people who identify as like radical queers. And we did this whole spell in this forest for an audience of about 150. And as we started this play, I got to, as the main character, Tennessee Wilde, as I called him, which is like a fusion of Tennessee Williams and Oscar Wilde, say in front of like a group of people that I really respect, I am an artist and I am a writer and I am a director and I am a performer and I am a designer. And then lead these people on this hour and a half long journey through this like great piece of art that was written by my friends. And, you know, there's a scene where Cain and Abel are fucking in the Garden of Eden and a storm, like a literal thunderstorm, started crashing all around us. And there's a scene where people are singing Beauty and the Beast in a kitchen and suddenly the light shone and like the storm cleared up. And then there was a moment where I was professing my love for this other character and everything just got quiet and beautiful.
And so you're controlling the weather.
Yeah, a little bit. But it's also just like, what is ritual theater? Ritual theater is producing a container in which you create like something that everyone is building together,
right?
Yeah.
How do I get on your mailing list for the dick pics?
Oh, for the dick pics? All right, I'm going to start a mailing list. MailChimp.
You ever put a spell on a dude? Like one-on-one?
I will when someone asks for one, but like...
Is that what they mean by coming?
Yeah, I mean, sex is a spell if you do it.
Oh, then I do.
Right.
Okay, I'm a witch. All right. We got to the bottom of that. Shelton, you can follow on Instagram at Shelt, IEP, Shelteep.
Yeah, that's the nickname my mom used to give me as a kid.
That's cute. And the website is sheltonlindsay.com.
Mm-hmm.
Robin.
Yes.
Follow on Twitter at Robin Virginie, VirginIe.
Mm-hmm.
Instagram, robin.virginie.
Is this a dick gif?
Well, I don't see a dick,
this
but
was an
I do see a cartoon finger in his butt and a picture of his butt.
Fascinating stuff. All right, I'm going to go vomit.
What? Okay, we're going to work on this afterwards. You guys, we're recording a YouTube, of course, exclusive after this. So if you enjoyed these guests and any of our other guests, get more of them with exclusive content on our YouTube channel. You just have to go to YouTube and, you know, search for Keith and the Girl. We're right there.
Have a great weekend.
So, they look ridiculous. Get rid of them, why don't you? Anyway, you know.
That's not none of your fucking business. What
it is, it is. They look stupid. I'm just telling you, it's just an appraisal. Keep them if you want. Look stupid. See if I give a fuck. You know, but they're too big and they look stupid. They look like some Vegas bitch. They look like a Vegas whore. Mm-hmm. And you go around sashaying around in your tight clothes and stuff. I won't stand for that anymore.
I don't walk around in tight clothes. I stay at home for most of the time.
You go out in public and it's a fucking embarrassment to me. You look like a fucking bitch on heat. And if you get raped by a pack of niggers, it'll be your fault. All right? Because you provoked it. You are provocatively dressed all the time with your fake boobs you feel you have to show off in tight outfits and tight pants and stuff. You see your pussy from behind. And that green thing today was enough. That's provocative. Okay? I'm telling you. I'm just telling you the truth. I don't like it. I don't want that woman. I don't want you. I don't believe you anymore. I don't trust you. I don't love you. I don't want you. Okay?
Okay.
Stay in the fucking house. I'm not giving it to you, but I'll let you stay there. Okay? And I will take care of my child, but I don't want you anymore. Now, you have one more chance. And I mean it. Now fucking go if you want, but I will give you one more chance. You make me want to smoke. You fuck my day up. You care about yourself.
You're so
when I
selfish.
Am being so fucking good to you. You fucking
I didn't do
me.
Anything. I did not do anything. This is your selfish imagination. That's
but
all.
Fuck up. You should just fucking smile and blow me. Because I deserve it. Oh, you're all angry now.
You're gonna get
you know
to, you know what? You're gonna answer one day, boy. You're gonna answer.
Huh?
Beth.
What are you threatening?
Nothing. I'm not the one to threaten.
I'm threatening. I'll put you in a fucking rose garden, you cunt. You understand that? Because I'm capable of it. You understand that?